Well, I'll say a mantra for me, and it's our tagline here, is be courageous. And I think that a lot of times it's put out there like, be fearless. And that's not what be courageous means. It means like you are like scared, boots knocking, don't feel like doing it, pit of your belly, want to like vomit, and you do it anyway. And I think that that can apply across the board, whether you're coming into crow pose for the first time, trying on handstands, or you're signing a lease for a lot of money, or you're quitting your job and doing something else that you want to do, or you're making a big life decision, you know, a big life change, you know, moving towards something or moving away from something. And I think that that requires a courageous spirit.
That was Bethany Lyons. This is Marnie Salop. Thanks for tuning into my podcast, Marnie on the Move. Each week, I will be inviting interesting, innovative movers and shakers to join me on the show and share their story. You will discover and hear from thought leaders, experts, influencers, and entrepreneurs from the worlds of wellness, sports, beauty, fitness, fashion, and more. Marnie on the Move will feature an eclectic mix of people I know, work with, and think are generally doing cool things. On each episode, I sync up with my guests about life, career, and training, and showcase their expertise and story. On today's episode, I sync up with yoga entrepreneur, studio owner, and teacher Bethany Lyons, co-founder of Lion's Den Power Yoga. In 2013, Bethany and her partner pioneered the opening of the first dedicated Baptiste power yoga style studio in New York City. Since its opening, Lion's Den Power Yoga has become one of the most popular and loved yoga studios in Manhattan by everyone from first-time practitioners to world-renowned teachers and yogis, myself included, as I really do love her classes, studio, and style of teaching. Since the Tribeca Studio's inception, Bethany has gone on to open a second studio in Chelsea. She is an Athleta ambassador and has led stadium-style outdoor classes for thousands of practitioners at Bryant Park and Times Square. Bethany and I met up in her studio in Tribeca to sync up about everything from where her yoga journey began and opening Lion's Den Power Yoga, the essence and core of Baptiste Power Yoga, her tagline and life philosophy on being courageous on and off the mat, and what fuels her. With that, I bring you Bethany. But first, a word about what fuels me. Today's episode is fueled by Sum Potion. I am such a huge fan of their super high-quality tonic herbs, mushrooms, and superfoods. I started using these transformational foods and supplements around 2 years ago, and they have been serious game changers for my health, my energy levels, and even my sleep. Typically, I alternate between their Yin Power Potion and Ashwagandha for all things balance, Cordyceps if I'm feeling low energy and want to boost my workout, or Chaga when my immune system is feeling taxed. I simply add it to my morning coffee or smoothie, and I'm on the move. Sum Potion offers a variety of rejuvenating, restorative, and healing organic supplements and transformational foods. Head over to their website, sumpotion.com, and see for yourself. Also, don't forget to subscribe to Marnie on the Move on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or Android. And of course, you can go to our website at marnieonthemove.com. And while you're there, sign up for our newsletter because we have some exciting announcements, deals, and giveaways. Thanks again for tuning in to Marnie on the Move. So I'm so excited to be here with you today. Thank you for having me at your beautiful studio.
Thanks so much for coming, Marnie.
This is so nice. It's nice and warm in here.
That is what we do here. We do warm, hot, sweaty, awesome yoga.
Tell me about Lion's Den Power Yoga.
So Lion's Den Power Yoga opened in November of 2013. Mm-hmm. So we're coming up on our 5-year anniversary here in Tribeca. When we first opened, we were only on the third floor and 36 mats, a much smaller outfit than we have now. We've doubled our size here. And then we opened our second location in Chelsea last year, approximately a year ago. We're right. Almost up on our year anniversary. It's a Baptiste yoga dedicated studio, mm-hmm. which there wasn't one in Manhattan at all. There were plenty of vinyasa studios and plenty of heated studios, but not any studio that was dedicated to this specific style of heated vinyasa. And it was really what I love. And I was tired of complaining that it didn't exist. And I had been in the fitness industry in New York for over 15 years, had been running clubs, had been doing programming, had been a part of, like, from the ground up SoulCycle and watching that happen, had been in the yoga scene for a really long time. And it was sort of like, well, if not you, who is supposed to do this? And that's how I like finally got out of my own way about it, and we opened.
And so tell me a little bit about Baptiste Yoga. Like, how is it different from other yoga practices?
Baptiste Yoga, Baron Baptiste, is like Oliver teacher, and he kind of took from a bunch of different lineages and really boiled things down to something that I think is really modifiable, adaptable, physical, and gets everything all in all at once. So the three components of Baptiste Yoga are meditation, asana, which is what Western world we tend to just sort of say yoga.
It's
just yoga. And inquiry. So we're always looking for ways to empower possibilities, like to ask questions about what's actually really happening with you on the mat.
Right.
And then obviously that translates into what's happening with you in life.
Right.
That's who we show up on the mat is pretty much the same thing. And there's a whole methodology to it. There's themes of Baptiste Yoga. There's pillars. The five pillars of Baptiste Yoga are drishti, your gaze, ujjayi, breath, that victorious breath, bandhas, foundation work, which generates tapas, heat. And then we also support the room with heat. And the final pillar is vinyasa, which is flow.
I was going to ask about the heat because I have practiced Ashtanga for a long, long time. And I feel like this is the only kind of yoga that I really feel is authentic to me, except it's hot, which is great. I mean, you know, and that's something that I think for me, like, I have to work through if I wanted to come here to the studio, as like one of my yoga lessons is like being able to be in the heat.
Yeah.
But this practice is amazing. Like, I love the series and the asanas and the way that you teach and the energy.
Thank you. Yeah. I mean, if you think about where it started, where it all started, it's definitely hot in India.
In Mysore.
Yeah, exactly. It's definitely hot there. And so we also practice, there's sort of an education factor, I think, that needs to happen between Baptiste and other hot styles. So there's hot styles like a Bikram style that's 26 postures repeated twice, done in 105 degrees or higher. That is not what we do at all.
Right.
What we are doing is we're in a room that's like maybe 92 degrees with humidity. Right. And we are flowing. It's a flowing practice. And so it's more like, and we use also radiant heaters. Mm-hmm. So you get all the benefits of that. And it's more like you're practicing yoga outside on a hot summer day.
Right.
You're going to
like
sweat.
Today.
Exactly. But it's not like a wall of heat that you're walking into that you have to like prep your body for days upon days before you practice.
Right.
But we are supported by the heat in the room, and then the most important heat, though, is the heat that you generate yourself.
Right. And so now, how did you get started in yoga?
I started practicing yoga kind of like just totally by accident. I was dancing with a small ballet company. I showed up one day like ready to go, and rehearsal was canceled. And I was like bummed out. It was one of the days where I wasn't like dragging myself. Some days you show up ready to go, some days not so much. And there was a studio around the corner. And the receptionist said, hey, there's this yoga studio around the corner. You should go do that. So myself.
Was this here in New York? Or?
No, this is outside Philly.
Okay.
So I walked around the corner and I was totally that girl that walked in late, came in, was like, hi, I'm here. And they're like, oh, shh, class has already started. And there's like a curtain up. I didn't even know. And the room was heated. Mm-hmm. The room was like darkish. The room had no mirrors. And it was a Baptiste-inspired class. And I knew nothing. I just came in. And it was a 90-minute practice. And at the time, I was dancing between 35 and 40 hours a week. And this thing like kicked my ass like nothing else. And I thought, this is amazing. I'm going to get great cross-training and sick abs. Like, period. That was it.
Right.
So I started going almost daily. And particularly before I had class or before I had rehearsal. And then a couple months in, I started like crying in poses, and I started getting a lot more than I had bargained for. You know, I realized it was the first time really I was in a space using my body, and I wasn't trying to fix it. I wasn't analyzing it in a mirror, which was my job as a dancer.
Right, I was going to say.
And it was just like wherever I was where I should be. And it really felt good. It was, I mean, stage is another place where you're not, look, you know, you sort of let all that go. But this wasn't performance for anyone else. It was just for me. And then I just fell in love with it. So it's one of the reasons why I love teaching beginners or people who think that yoga is not for them, or they're just coming for like sick abs. Great.
Right.
Come on in, because the practice is going to work on you regardless whether that's what you want or not.
It's so funny that you say that, because I was listening to someone else's podcast earlier and they were talking about meditation and how whether or not you believe in it, it will work.
It works.
If you do the steps.
Totally.
And I feel like it's the same thing really with when it comes to like athleticism or in a yoga practice. Like if you do the work.
Particularly when you're incorporating mindfulness with it, 100%. If you do the work, it works. And so that's why it's like, you don't need people to tell you, you know, in a hip opener, you're going to, you don't even need that. It will just happen, because that's how the practice works. And so that's why I love that. It's one of my favorite. It's one of the reasons why I love this practice too, because it's really physical.
Mm-hmm.
And we tend to get a lot of guys who come, and we get a lot of people who are intimidated by a more traditional, I'll say, yoga studio. Like there's no incense here. It's not that kind of vibe.
Right.
I think that gets people over the hurdle, and then they end up getting so much more than they ever thought.
Right. And I actually know a few guys that come and practice here and that have done your 40 Days to Personal Revolution program.
40 Days to Personal Revolution program. And it's a book by Baron. He wrote a book that is this program. And in studio, you bring that book that could be done totally on your own to life in a group setting with meetings weekly and the support of the community. And every time we do this program at the studio, and you can do it numerous times. I mean, I've done 40 days like 15 times. Right. And every time I get something out of it. And it levels up the community every single time we do it. It's like people have no idea.
Right.
They're like, oh, great, a 40-day challenge, sure.
Right.
And then there's all three parts to it. So it's meditation, and it builds every week. So it starts with a 5-minute meditation. Anybody can sit for 5 minutes. And then the next week it's 10, and then the next week it's 15, and the next week it's 20. And then the practice starts with you commit to 20 minutes of practice. So if you come take class, great. But if you do a home practice, you commit to 20. Then it's 30, then it's 45, then it's 60. And then there's inquiry questions every single week, which are basically journaling.
Right.
The program builds in a way that they're winnable gaps. And people by the end are doing 30-minute meditation in the morning. They've totally like changed their ways of eating and relating to fueling their body, done a lot of inquiry, and they're practicing 90 minutes of yoga a day for the last part of it. And I don't know anyone who comes through the program is like, yeah, I wish I didn't do that.
I heard him talking about the Bhagavad Gita. So is there any of that in the program as well, or is it?
Baptiste yoga is classical yoga, and it is the sutras, and it is all of these ancient texts. It's just made very accessible.
Okay.
And so if you look at, like, if you read, like, Baron's first book, Journey into Power, any of his books, really, his last book, Perfectly Imperfect, I love. That was the best, like, a New York Times bestseller. It's all the sutras. It's just brought to people in a really digestible way. That's not ancient text, and that's not very woo-woo.
Speaking of yoga sutras, do you have a favorite yoga sutra?
Yeah, I mean, one of my favorite sutras is Stira Sukha Asanam.
Okay.
Which is like the physical, it's a balanced energy, balanced action, effort and ease. Our connection to physical reality is calm and easeful. And I think it's just such a way to get out of concept, out of headspace, and into, that's why I love the physical practice of asana, because it's like our connection to to physical reality, to the physical earth. Just feel your hands, feel your feet, feel your breath come in, expand your lungs. It, in mere seconds, you've completely shifted and altered your mind state, your energy, everything in such a short period of time. And I love the duality of that sutra. And it's so simple.
Yeah.
And relatable.
Yeah, I like that. I had not thought about that sutra. I always think about the second sutra, Chitta Vritti Nirodha, which is like basically my mind on a regular basis, like constantly, like all kinds of ideas coming and going and coming and going. And I'm like trying to just like chill.
Yeah. And you are not those. Yeah.
No.
Totally.
I try not to be.
No, I mean, we have like something like some ridiculous amount of thoughts a day, you know, like tens of thousands of thoughts a day. And there's before doing any of this kind of work, I think that we can relate to our thoughts as who we are.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you do any kind of work like meditation, yoga, any of the self-inquiry work or, you know, healing work, then you start to like see that, okay, wait, but I can observe that I'm having thoughts.
Right.
So if I can observe that I'm having thoughts and I'm not my thoughts.
Right.
It's like there's a really have you ever done a neti neti meditation? It's such a beautiful meditation.
That's the next frontier for me.
It's so meditation. Great. It's not this, not that.
Okay.
And basically you go through a whole thing of like, well, you know, like, okay, put your attention on your hands.
Mm-hmm.
I have hands. Am I my hands? Like, no, like, am I my hands? And then like go through the whole body. You know, I have this.
Mm-hmm.
Am I this? And then like put your attention on your thoughts. I have thoughts. Well, am I my thoughts?
I love that.
There's no answer to it.
Right.
I mean, the whole thing is a whole inquiry, but it's really beautiful because I think it allows us to understand that whatever is happening up top here, you mm-hmm. know, I'm running my hands around. I'm a very visual talker, everybody.
Right. Me too. I'm trying to keep my hands on the ground before I knock over one of the microphones.
But, you know, if we're constantly, I think of like that ticker tape in Times Square.
Uh-huh.
That's just constantly feeding us more information. That's always there.
Right.
I think it's like a fallacy to think like, well, if I was balanced or if I was Zen or if I was this and I just like won't have these thoughts. Well, no, you're still going to have thoughts, but it's how we relate to them. And can you turn down the volume or put that in the background mm-hmm. and actually be present? Mm-hmm. You know, even with someone just in a conversation, of course, like no one's ever listening. No one's ever listening. I mean, when we talk to someone, usually, unless you're really interrupting it.
Right.
While listening to someone else talk, you're thinking about what the next thing you're going to say is.
Which is so interesting.
Yeah. And so it requires interruption. And I think all of that is a really interesting dance. And it's also like a huge Pandora's box because once you've opened it and it's like, you know, it's a lifelong studentship. And that's also something that I love about Baptiste yoga and yoga in general.
Yeah. I feel like, is that something that you kind of have to dial into as a teacher? Because I know you do, I mean, you started as a teacher and now, you know, you're a business owner and an entrepreneur, but as a teacher, is it something that you're like active listening or active observing because you're speaking and then you're looking at your class and trying to sort of
the only see. Time if as a teacher,
yeah,
you have to look and listen to what's happening in the room before you can give a tool.
Right.
Otherwise, we could just put on a recording at the front of the room and have some, you know, tactile physical assistance in the room.
Right.
Otherwise, I'm just speaking like on a record player. So really authentic listening to your students, mm-hmm. to what's needed, to what's not needed. Do they need space? Do you need to talk? Is a cue needed or is actually just silence needed right now? Is one of the most important things as a teacher. And as a teacher, you're always a student.
Right.
Like if I come out of a class and I didn't learn anything, That's not my best class. You know, that's a miss for me. That's a missed opportunity. Every time I teach a workshop, anytime I'm teaching class, anytime I'm doing teacher training, I come out learning mm-hmm. so much. I want to be as curious as possible. You never have all the answers. I certainly don't.
No, but I did notice that about just the amount of times that I've taken your class that somehow I you know, have took away that you're like a really good teacher, that you're, you know, and there's a real skill set in that beyond just having a brand or being a teacher, there's like a lot of listening and observing and interacting without interacting in a classroom that makes someone who's practicing take away something positive and an experience from the class. So
obviously it's really important that we have Lion's Den Power Yoga is a great brand and all of that. But like what we do here, what the product is the class.
Yeah.
Is the teaching. And it's the most important thing that we do. It's absolutely the most important thing we do. Even like last year we were opening the two studios and we were supposed to have teacher training last year. And I was like, no, it's not what's needed right now. What's needed is attention on the current team and the current teachers so that we keep everything like really tight and we're all on the same page and we're delivering something. But every single class that I teach, and it's really what I like to, every class is your best class.
Yeah.
Every class you come in, this is going to be the best class I've ever taught. It's not like, oh, there's a special class. This one counts. This one, this time slot. Not, no, it's like every class, whether there's three people in the room or 300.
Speaking of 300, you do a lot of major, large-scale yoga activations and classes with brands like Athleta and in Times Square.
Yoga Journal.
Yeah, and Yoga Journal. So,
yeah, totally. Yeah, I think our last class, and not this last one, but last year in Bryant Park was like 1,200
people. 1,200 people. Yeah. Okay.
I love teaching to big groups. I mean, that's something that is a skill set that I, you know, something that I have in my tool belt is performing and being available for bigger kind of arena. And it's something that I love and enjoy. And so to be able to meld the two kind of worlds is very comfortable for me. It's actually just super fun. Actually, in those kind of larger scale events, we have a whole team that's there.
I mean,
we have like 30, we call them like yoga ninjas. We have like 30 of them. Ninjas. Yeah, they're all dressed in black all around and they're assisting, you know, physically, but it has to be more theatrical in your presentation because, you know, people need, people are visual learners, people are tactile learners, people are auditory learners. Hopefully all of you listening to this, that's you. And so it's super fun to do that. And I also like doing anything like that here in this city. I mean, New York City is such a fun place to do it. Like in Bryant Park or in Times Square when we did that, it was like you have a giant crowd watching too. And then I like to engage them too. I'm like, everybody who's here, who's watching us, like no more watching. You're going to breathe with us.
That's so wonderful.
Yeah. And we can get so many people involved that wouldn't have necessarily ever tried anything like this before.
That's amazing. That's
so
great.
Just so fun. So fun. I used to be able to do big scale events too for Crunch. I was regional manager there and we did you know, work out in the park. And
Were you there at the beginning when they first started?
Not Crunch. No, no. That's like early 80s. I was a baby.
Wait, really?
I was a babe.
All right, fine.
Yeah. Early 80s. I'm a little older than you. I'm a 79 girl. So 71. I just made it into the cool decades.
So do you have any coming up that people could go to like around the country or?
We're partnered with Bryant Park numerous times this summer.
You are?
Okay. Every single month we're doing something. So I actually kicked off the whole season in May, which was so fun. And then on June 21st, Thursday night at 6 p.m., a Baptiste teacher from Jacksonville, Florida, Dan Nevins, will be here. He is representing Wounded Warrior Project.
Oh, cool.
He is a double amputee and Baptiste teacher. And practices.
Wow.
And a very inspirational person. And our whole team will be supporting that class.
And it's going to be here at the studio?
No, it's at Bryant Park.
Oh, it's going to be
These
at
are
Bryant
all those
Park.
Bryant, okay, like you're talking about big scale events. Then we also have July 12th. I will be teaching in Bryant Park, also Thursday, 6 p.m. And then in August 16th, Terry Barnett, she'll be teaching.
That's so great. And are you doing any retreats or anything?
I don't have anything on the docket right now. It's something that I would like to do in the future. And it was lower on the totem pole for me because of my focus on what we're doing here. I mean, it'd be super fun to do. And I'm all about building our studios right now.
So are you opening any more studios?
That's definitely the plan. Okay. I can't say anything really much about it right now, but the idea was never to have one studio. The idea was always to expand like to a bunch of different neighborhoods all around the city and probably outside of the city and possibly elsewhere in the country. That's what I would love to do. And, and my partner, John, and I are working on, I mean, last year was a very big year. We basically tripled the size of our company
right.
last year in a very short period of time. We'd planned on opening Chelsea. Mm-hmm. And then in the middle of that, Tribeca, another floor became available that was not like in the cards at all. Mm-hmm. And our landlord came to us and said, do you want it? And we're kind of like, this is really bad timing, but
it's never the right time. Yeah, right?
It was just sort of like, well, we just have to do it. So we did both of those and we're doing construction at both places mm-hmm. in this very expensive city at the exact same time. So we've been, you know, getting our ducks back in a row for the next location.
So what does it feel like to be doing what you love, to have been practicing yoga for as long as you have, and then being able to really pioneer something in New York City and build a brand?
It feels easeful, actually. Mm-hmm. It feels like I'm in my dharma. Like mm-hmm. I just said this the other night. We were finishing teacher training and we were talking about, you know, what it takes to teach this here and what it takes to be a teacher and everything else. I'm like, if you are doing this, I mean, obviously we're a business and we're a very successful business.
Right.
But if I'm doing this just for the like the money or just for the success of the business, I'm like lost. Mm-hmm. That's if I was told I would never get paid ever to teach yoga again, or like, you have a week to live, what are you going to do? I would still teach yoga within that. Like, I know I would.
Yeah.
I know I would be like, okay, well, which is going to be my class? What's going to be my last class? What's going to be the big blowout? And that's how much I love it. And I had a very non-linear path
right.
to what I'm doing.
What I've was had, your path?
I've had 27 jobs. I mean, I have a creative advertising. I have a BS in creative advertising from mm-hmm. Newhouse in Syracuse.
Okay.
Totally off like what I'm doing. I was a marketing director for a startup company. I ended up teaching out of this, like sort of again by accident, mm-hmm. and then became a coordinator for Crunch, then became a regional manager for Crunch, sort of got into the whole gym world. Again, that was not at all my plan.
That's so interesting that all these things sort of happened to you.
Totally. And then from that, other doors opened. So from that, I ended up launching classes for them because I really loved creative ideas and liked programming. So then I was put on camera and then I could walk and talk and chew gum in front of the camera. So mm-hmm. then they were like, okay, you do all of our press stuff.
Right.
My name was put in for DVDs for Crunch. Then I was like the number one selling yoga DVD on Amazon for quite a period of time with a Crunch DVD called Yoga Body Sculpt back in the days of DVDs.
Yes.
Before podcasts. And then from that, I ended up working for Madonna's launch of her gyms, Hard Candy, and doing trainings all over Europe. And then I was the first teacher that SoulCycle hired when there
right.
were three of us. And I watched all of that happen and was a part of all of that. I kind of, you know, took from all of these. I mean, I loved all of that. I loved Crunch. I loved SoulCycle, but it wasn't the end all be all for
and
me.
And this studio was what you wanted.
This is this path, you know, like, and again, like I said, I knew like having a studio is not going to be like, that's not it for me either.
As a founder and a yoga teacher, are there any great business lessons or a mantra that you might want to share with my listeners?
Well, I'll say a mantra for me, and it's our tagline here, is be courageous. And I think that a lot of times it's put out there like, be fearless. And that's not what be courageous means. It means like, you are like scared, boots knocking, like don't feel like doing it, pit of your belly, want to like vomit, and you do it anyway. And I think that that can apply across the board, whether you're like coming into crow pose for the first time, trying on handstands, or you're signing a lease for a lot of money.
Right.
Or you're quitting your job and doing something else that you want to do, or you're making a big life decision, you know, a big life change. Either like, you know, moving towards something or moving away from something. And I think that that requires a courageous spirit. And I think that that's much more accessible.
Yeah.
At least to me. I'm not fearless.
Yeah.
But I am willing to take on things that I'm scared to do. And I actually think when you're scared to do something or something has like that little bit of, you know, in the pit of your belly, that's a good sign that you want to move toward that thing. In terms of lessons I've learned, a lot of people see people in, I don't know, an arena, or they write a book, or they own a place, or they launch a brand or something, and it looks like they were so lucky.
Mm-hmm.
They were not lucky. I worked my butt off.
Right.
I was in this industry for 15 years, building relationships and everything else. I mean, when we opened, people would say, oh my God, you guys got so much press and you were here and you were here. You guys are so lucky. I'm like, oh yeah, so lucky.
Yeah, like it just happened overnight.
Totally. And I really,
there's
you know,
no one else.
I think having, I mean, there's an old quote about like, the harder I work, the luckier I seem to get.
Uh-huh. I like
and
that.
And it's so true. It's like, you just have to work for what you want.
Right.
And if you can't work for it, Barron has a quote too. He says, don't work for it. Don't wish for it. Work for it.
Right.
And you can keep wishing about things. You can keep having dreams. You can keep writing on pieces of paper. You can keep journaling about it. You can have affirmations all you want. But if you don't actually put action into play, nothing will change. Zero will change.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's great advice. Are you doing any digital content? Like, what are your thoughts on that?
I think digital content's great.
Yeah.
I mean, it's accessible and awesome. It's something that I would love to do.
Uh-huh.
I need to figure out how to multiply myself.
Right.
And or, you know, like we're in this growth phase, not only in our brands, but like then in actual brick and mortar.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so many hours in the day. And I really feel like I don't want to take my eye off the ball.
Yeah.
You know, like I want to deliver what we're doing to like the nth degree, but that's definitely something that's been in the conversation, particularly because I love camera.
Right.
I love like doing anything that's, I mean, we've shot a bunch of stuff and most of the time we shoot everything in one take. So
right. That's great.
So it's like something that I love doing. I'm like, I prefer live TV than a tape segment.
Right.
Honestly, because then I know I have to show up.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, you can create like an entire brand and experience on Instagram, but is that actually happening?
Right. Right.
And I'm more about like, people ask me all the time about other styles or other brands or like, what do you think about this? And I'm like, I don't even know. I'm so focused on, I have nothing. I think that if you're an entrepreneur or you're doing something that you love and you want to succeed at it, you need to focus on that.
Yeah.
And not focus on other people.
What other people are doing.
Yeah. I have no interest. I think there's space and room for everyone who's doing what they love. I love celebrating people's successes.
Yeah.
So if there's another studio or there's something else, it's like right down the block that's doing so well. Awesome.
Right.
It has nothing to do with me or us or our team here.
And what do you do to stay fit and fueled? What fuels you?
What fuels me? What fuels me is obviously yoga practice, but I mean, I think sometimes when you're teaching a lot and then you're opening a business, you can kind of, or I definitely would let things kind of like go on the back burner and it doesn't last long. You have to have a savings account for yourself.
Right.
So I have to practice like 5 times a week. I also love doing cardio workouts and interval workouts and spinning and stuff like that. I haven't actually been spinning in quite a while though, because I had a really long run with it for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
I like now I like kind of doing other things. I also have 2 rescue dogs and love running around the city with those rescue pups. They keep me very active. We like to go to the water.
Uh-huh.
I love doing that as well.
You like running?
No.
Oh, running with the dogs.
Around with them.
Running around.
Not running. Marnie, let me be very clear.
Okay, fine.
If I am
like,
running,
wait,
no.
I was almost recruiting her to the, like, the next half marathon.
No. If I am running,
yes.
I am either very angry.
Uh-huh.
Uh-oh. Or someone is chasing me, or I'm in an interval class.
Got
and
it.
Like I'm at Barry's and I have to run on the treadmill for a certain period of time and someone is yelling at me.
That's so funny. I love it.
I am not a runner. I totally get it.
Yes.
You know, and I think there's so many parallels to yoga and running. And so we have a ton of triathlete team members here and we have a ton of runners and I love it, but it's just not my thing. I'd much rather go dancing.
How do you, you'd rather go dancing?
I'd rather go dancing.
It's interesting because this topic has been coming up a lot lately with different friends and people that I've been talking to. There's either dancers or there's like triathletes and like the two don't necessarily go together, but everyone loves yoga.
Yes, totally. Because it works for everything.
It's like the foundation for everything.
Totally. We have both ends of the spectrum here. I mean, we have people who are professional dancers who are on Broadway and professional ballet dancers and everything that come here. And then we have like a full team of triathletes.
So how can people learn more about Lion's Den Yoga?
Well, we have a website, lionsdenpoweryoga.com, and it's LYONS, lionsdenpoweryoga.com. We also have an app that's free That's really beautiful and easy to use. So if you just search us in your app store, Lion's Den Power Yoga, you'll find our app. We also have a very active Instagram account that follows things that we do here and programs we do and teachers and our community. I mean, the people in our community is what makes this place really special. This is the most that I've heard of and that I've experienced, non-intimidating, most welcoming yoga community in the universe.
The Baptiste yoga community.
Baptiste yoga community in general and us here.
And the studio.
Yeah, I mean, if you come here, you have to have zero experience. Or you could be the most experienced yogi. You can come, you can be a teacher too. Like we have kids yoga. You can be four.
I love the kids yoga.
We're just for anybody.
Right.
One thing that Baron says about Baptiste yoga, and I totally agree with it, is that we are for anybody and we're not for everybody.
I like that.
This practice. And I think that's also a really good lesson that I've learned, or something that I've stayed really true to, is you just can't please everybody, and you can't do anything like the whim of everybody. People will come in and say, oh, I would take, but I would like for it to not be heated.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I totally get that. And I can give you recommendations of studios that aren't heated.
Oh, yeah.
But what we do here is Baptiste yoga and it's heated.
Yeah.
And I think there's something really powerful standing behind what you say you're for and actually being for it and not having to apologize for it.
That's nice. It's true. I think it's for every, it's like a metaphor for life.
Yeah. It's like, this is what I'm a yes for. And in order to be, I mean, one of the themes of Baptiste yoga is be a yes. Be a yes, give up what you must, come from, you're ready now. And be a yes, I really relate to. And not in the way that you're saying yes to more things. Stop saying yes to things you hate. Stop
right.
it. You know, it's like being a yes for some things means being a no for a lot of things.
Right.
Like if I'm a yes for getting up to practice at 6:30 or 7 a.m., I'm a no for going out at 11 p.m.
Right.
You know, you have to be a no for things in order to be a yes for things. And I think that everybody wants to, you know, like please everybody and you know, not let anybody down. And there's a certain time in, for me, I need space and I need alone time, to be very honest with you. I need alone time to refuel. And so sometimes that means someone asking me to do something and I don't have plans, but you know what? Actually, I do. I have plans with myself, me, myself, and over here by myself in my home, having like...
Doing nothing and you don't need to make an excuse.
And I don't have to make an excuse for it. And I think that there's something really powerful in standing behind that without having to apologize.
Did you learn that lesson in your later adult years? Because I feel like a lot of people...
Totally. I was always a very good multitasker and a really good person at sort of keeping a lot of balls in the air. And then when I opened the studio, it was physically impossible. The amount of communications, the amount of emails, the amount of text messages, the amount of DMs, just like all the communication at me. Plus what was needed physically, plus all the demands of a bunch of different things, classes and events and all the things.
Yeah.
And so I had to just go like, you have to be okay with not doing all this. It's just not physically possible. And you're just going to run yourself into the ground. And I would have people who, you know, like everybody wants to have coffee. You know, everybody wants to have coffee. And I'm like, I don't have time to have coffee with my best friend.
Right. Yeah.
Like, no, I'm sorry. Love you.
Yeah, I totally understand. I have been experiencing that a lot since I started this podcast. Any extra time I have, this is it.
Totally. And but I don't think it's not being, I don't think it's not being nice.
Yeah.
I think it's actually just being for the people that you really care about and for your own health and well-being.
Yeah.
The style of yoga that I teach, the kind of teacher that I am, I'm a person who pushes people.
Yeah.
I mean, I do it with love, but sometimes it's a little fiery and sometimes it's a little cattle prodish. And, you know, I have to be okay with people not liking me in order to do this job. I think if you want to be a yoga teacher and you want to be liked, you're screwed.
Yeah. Yeah.
You have to be about something bigger than that, you know? And if you want to have make a difference, if you want to have something that really causes change or causes a good difference in people's lives, you got to be up to a bigger game than being liked.
100%. I love this. Thank you so much. This was so wonderful. Thank you so much, Bethany. I'm glad we finally got to have a conversation.
Thanks so much for doing this with me, Marnie.
Thanks again for tuning in to Marnie on the Move. Head over to our website, MarnieOnTheMove.com, and subscribe to our show on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Android, and more. Also, sign up for our newsletter. Just scroll down to the bottom of the site, to the bottom of the website, and hit sign up, because we are gearing up for some really big, exciting announcements, deals, and giveaways. Thanks again for tuning in.